Welcome to the Casual Author Podcast. I'm Dan, sci-fi and fantasy author, father of six, full-time worker, homesteader, as well as a man of many other responsibilities. I'm here to bring you inspiration and positivity around having a busy life and wanting to chase that author career, even if you have to take a casual approach. For more information about me, my books, and the podcast, head to dankenner.com/podcast. And here's the show. Hey there, it's Dan Kenner with episode number 111 of the podcast. Today we're talking to JC Youngstrom about maximizing your time as an author. JC has a lot of experience about prioritization and how to organize your life so that you can get the most important things done in connection with your prioritization. It's a very good conversation for someone like myself who doesn't really enjoy planning. We talk a lot about strategies for people who don't like planning as well. So if you're like myself, then you might get a lot out of this conversation. Before we dive into that, definitely want to talk through some updates. So in terms of writing updates, this last week I did finally complete and go through the first round of edits for my short story that I will be submitting for Writers of the Future at the end of this month. So my writers group got a hold of it and they read through it and battered it to pieces, you know, in a good way. They gave me a lot of really constructive and great feedback, ways to make it more flowy and to remove some of the confusion that it had. I did rush the ending because I had a 17,000 word limit and I was determined to finish this story long before the end of that limit. So I finished my first draft about 14,000 words. Well, lo and behold, it was rushed. I mean, I got that sense. So I ended up adding nearly 3,000 words. So obviously I'm still below the 17,000 limit, barely, but the story is much better. It flows much better. Now, if you're interested in stories that are a little bit of a narrative on, angels and devils, as well as just the morality of removing someone's agency in this life, that is the narrative of the story. It's an urban fantasy. And I think you might like it if you're interested in those subjects. I really enjoyed writing it, and it's something that I never thought I could write. Came out of nowhere, my panting brain. I started with nothing, literally just this concept of an ability to essentially separate one soul from the body, almost like a, you know, your body stays there for such a second, separate your soul, and you can possess someone else even temporarily. So it's a really interesting story. And I don't know if you'll be able to guess the ending. No one can ever guess my endings because they often surprise myself as well. But so that's done. I got back into the writing of Dwarf Blooded, just, you know, written a couple thousand words because I did finish the short story very recently. I found out that my last story got another honorable mention with Writers of the Future. So that's exciting. I don't know how common they are. It's something I need to learn a little bit more about. But yeah, I think I got a notification that I got another honorable mention for last quarter story. So that's encouraging. I guess I'll just keep getting certificates. I don't know if you can see the one back there for my silver honorable mention for the first story I submitted. But here's hoping that I can keep creating these quality stories for you. I hope to probably compile them all into one short story book that I'll publish with art for each story at some point. You know, maybe once I've accrued 8 or 9 of the stories, then I put it together into, you know, 8 or 9 would be over 100,000 words. So I might need to do less than that, but we'll see what I decide. Let's see. Other than that, I have fixed up my shop, my store, and connected it with Book Vault. So I've got all my books set up with Book Vault so that you can now buy direct from me. So this is something new that I've never done before. But I recognize, you know, after Amazon removed some of my reviews for no reason whatsoever, I decided I'd rather take control of being able to sell books and actually get paid a little bit of a higher amount for an even better quality book. Not that Amazon printing is terrible. It's okay. It's decent. But Book Vault has amazing production. I really like the way the books come out with them. And you can buy direct from me. So what that means is if you go to my website now, dankenner.com, click on the store button, it will take you to my Pay Hip shop, and you can either buy signed books from me, which I will sign and ship them out, I'll box them up all nice and send them out to you, or you can click on the unsigned versions, and that will essentially just send a notice to Book Vault to have a print-on-demand version sent to your home. So I am selling them for a bit cheaper on my site than Amazon because I can do that, and coincidentally, cheaper on my website means more money for me, ironically, just because Amazon takes so much of it. It's very unfortunate. So if you're interested in buying my books, you can buy them direct. I'll get my ebooks all set up on my website as well. Haven't done that quite yet. Have all the files and everything. I just want to make sure the book funnel delivery is seamless, and that is something that I just need to tinker with, but I'll get that done at some point. In Homestead news this last week, nothing. We didn't have to do anything crazy with them. We didn't have to copper bolus them, or we were hoping to vaccinate them, but we don't have our vaccine. It hasn't come in the mail quite yet. So more than likely we will be doing that this Saturday. But we've got that down. We have a bunch of syringes just on hand, and our goats actually stay pretty still for that. So I know how to do it without sticking myself, and how to get into them in a clean way. But I guess our cat Wilma did have kittens. In the last week, she had six little kittens, so four girls and two boys. And, half of them have the little knobby tabby tail, which is really fun. And generally that means they're, we've heard at least that they're better hunters. So hopefully that's good news. We'll be keeping some of them because unfortunately some of our cats just went missing. I don't know what happened. We had two adult cats that were great hunters. We were not having mouse problems at all in our house or around our house because they were up just hanging out by our house. They're barn cats. They disappeared. I'm not sure if they got hit by cars or I didn't see them at all. It's kind of crazy. They shouldn't have been picked up by the shelter. I did call the shelter and they said they didn't have them because we're out in the country and they don't really care. They don't manage our area. They usually just kind of let strays do their own thing. So that's kind of sad. We're missing them. Our mouse problem is a problem as well. It has increased since they disappeared. So these new kittens, we're hoping to keep a couple of them so that they can be good mousers as well. At least that's the hope. But I don't have any pictures quite yet. Obviously, I just want to leave them undisturbed because they're still very little. They're like days old. They were born maybe 3 days ago, 4 days ago. Yeah, and I don't want to rock the boat or cause any issues with that. So we're just letting them sit in their pile for a little while before we touch them. And yeah, other than that, yeah, no other updates for homesteading. We have started. There's one thing I just remembered. We have started to preserve our eggs. So some of the last podcast episodes, I talked about just the sheer number of eggs that we have. It's a very positive problem to have because we have surplus. The problem is we don't want eggs to go bad. They are counter stable. They can sit out on the counter, but we had nearly 100. We have over 100 sometimes at any given time, and we're eating them as often as we can. But for preservation, we are water glassing them again. So essentially, we've got these buckets with some pickling lime that you put in, and you just gently put the eggs in. And the bloom is what it's called on the outside of the egg, keeps any germs or chemicals or whatever from permeating through the egg. So once you put them in that solution, it actually keeps them good. You can stick them on your shelf. And we had water glass eggs for around 6 months, 6 to 8 months last year, and we used them. And they don't taste the best. They don't taste bad, but they get kind of watery. I don't know why. And but yeah, otherwise they have just a little bit of a different taste. But yeah, they're fine. I mean, we ate them. We'll have 18 dozen eggs that were water glassed last year. No issues. No one got sick. And we generally put them in things like when we make pancakes and cakes and stuff, and they work just fine. Don't know that I'd eat them plain. I don't know if they taste as good as fresh eggs, but we do what you can. And then my wife also made, I want to say, six batches, possibly eight batches of egg noodles. So that's another form of egg preservation, is you use a bunch of eggs and egg noodles and you dry them out and put them in bags or buckets or whatever, and then you've got shelf stable eggs in the form of noodles. So that's what we did. We managed to preserve 8 dozen. I think it was either 6 or 8 dozen eggs in the past few days. And we'll have to be doing it again next week because we're getting that many. But yeah, it'll be great to have those for the winter. We're really, really looking forward to that. So I believe that was really actually all the news. So we can go ahead and shift over to the interview portion of the podcast. Hey, JC, how are you doing today?
Doing great. How are you, Dan?
Doing very, very well. I am thrilled to talk to you because you said you are passionate about time management, which,
Yes.
as any adult knows, is a challenge with anything in your life, responsibilities, jobs, kids, pets, all sorts of things. So I'm excited to talk about that. But before we get into it, how long have you been in the industry with publishing, writing, editing?
I've been writing since 2012 on a full-time basis. I got a degree at Brigham Young University in creative writing. And then I took a big hiatus and just worked on sales. Actually, I did sales for like 10 years. And then I came back and used the information that I had, that I learned in my sales business to actually help me with my writing. So, yeah, so 12 years. I'm now a project manager and virtual assistant for 8 Moons Publishing, and I've been doing that since 2022.
That's
So, 2
awesome.
years.
So, did you ever think you'd end up in the publishing industry the full time?
I did.
You
Well,
did?
yeah, when I studied English at BYU, I studied creative writing. So that was what I really wanted to do, was that. I guess maybe for that little stint in sales, I was kind of wishy-washy about actually following through. But yeah, so my sister moved in with me, and her family, they were kind of homeless at the time, and she felt really bad because there were six of them and seven of us. And she said, "Look, I've always had a dream to be related to someone that's a published author." And so she got me back on track.
That, what an unlikely story. Very cool.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm related to people and I've published books, but I don't think anyone, and this is not a knock on them, but I don't think I've had anyone tell me that it was their goal to be related to an author. That's awesome.
Yeah,
And you
so she took
fulfilled her
over.
goal.
Well, I'm not published yet, but I'm
Well,
working on
you will fulfill
it.
her goal.
That's right. Yeah, so she took over the cooking and cleaning and house chores so that I could focus on getting that done. And then I just realized, you know what? Sales is not my thing. Like, I love it. It's great, but it's not what I really want to do. I love writing. So, yeah, it was just a good wake-up call.
I mean, that's very cool though, and I imagine that you, like you mentioned, your time in sales aided you in your perhaps business practices, marketing practices, just the way you talk about. We will talk about your book when it is published. So, what for the sake of the listeners, what do you write? What are you planning on publishing, genre wise, type wise?
Yeah, so I write children's literature mostly. I have about 70 picture book manuscripts under my belt, and I write middle grade fantasy as well. So, yeah.
7D. Wow, impressive.
Yeah.
Do they have you combined art with them yet, or are you seeking publishers now for those manuscripts?
Yeah, good question. I'm actually learning illustration at the moment, so I'm working on my first dummy book. That's coming along. It's very exciting and
Wow.
scary.
Okay, impressive. I tell people all the time. Actually, I had a great conversation with someone at so context for people listening. I met JC at LTUE in Provo, my first time going. I think you've been to LTUE before, correct?
Many times, yeah.
Many times. And so, we connected there, and I was talking to someone there who draws art. It was actually my table sharer's daughter. And I mentioned I'm not very good at art. It's not a skill that I have. And she's like, "Well, have you practiced much?" I said, "Okay, touche." I have not practiced much. She's like, anybody can learn to draw. You just have to practice, which, I agree. That's a good point. But I have not practiced art. So for you, the type of art that your illustration that you're putting into this book, what type is it? Like cartoony? You're looking for like hyper, or not hyper realistic, but realistic type art? What are
Oh,
you learning?
definitely. More cartoony for sure. Yeah, just very stylistic and kind of animation style, I guess.
Okay, very cool. So the real question, why we're here, is how do you make the time for that? Illustration, writing, your family members around you. I'm sure you have other things going on. So let's talk time management. What are
Yeah, absolutely.
you mentioned being passionate about it, but when it comes to prioritization, how do you approach prioritization?
So that's a really good question. I think it changes for every person. So you really just have to know what's important to you, right? So for me, I'm a very religious person, so God is first in my life. And then second is my family. It's kind of like when I'm making a decision about something, I think about those two things, and whatever else comes in, like into the question, I wonder, is this going to take away too much from my other two huge priorities, or is this going to help? And then writing is my third priority. So everything else that I kind of decide on, somebody asked me to go to lunch. Okay, is this going to get in the way of those other three things? And if not, okay, let's go to lunch, but otherwise, if I have a writing appointment set with myself, I keep that appointment and I'll do lunch on another day. Or, if I'm helping with a field trip at the elementary school for my daughter, then I won't do lunch with a friend that day, So that's kind of how you decide, right? What is your priority?
So this might be a silly question, but what does that look like? Like, is this something that you spend every day? Like, maybe you plan at night. Do you like do a planning session in the morning, or is it like you just know your priorities mentally, and in the moment when things come up, you're just like, "Ooh, I can easily prioritize this in the moment."
Yeah, good question. Some people are that way where they can just like decide in the moment how things go. So the way I do things obviously is not the best way necessarily. But for me, and the way that I was trained in sales was to like have a plan and to know kind of what you're doing. I know you've talked about your son who's in archery. If you know what your target is, you're gonna aim. My daughter's also in archery, by
Oh,
the
what?
way. Yeah,
Okay, I didn't
super
know
cool.
this. We have to talk about that at some point.
Anyway, but you have your target, right? And if you didn't have that target and somebody said to shoot an arrow, that arrow would go wherever somebody decided to point. But if you have the target in front of you, then when you pull back on the bowstring, the general direction of where you're shooting. And that's kind of the same, I think, with time management and prioritizing scheduling is you put together a plan so you have a basic knowledge of where you're going to be spending your time. And then if things get in the way or you don't hit the target or whatever, that's okay, but at least you're setting yourself up to get going in the right direction. So I use a calendar. I'm a huge fan of using calendars. I actually got my first calendar when I was 11 years old. My
That
brother
is awesome.
got me a Franklin Covey planner as a
Ooh, a
birthday
fancy
gift.
one, even. Look at
Yeah.
that. That's like
I
the
guess,
calendar.
yeah, he knew me better than I knew myself, I guess, at the time. So,
You know, I mean, what
yeah.
a cool thing to be able to say. As an 11-year-old, I got my first calendar. I'm pretty sure I got my first calendar when I was 17, and it's still blank to this day, if I even still have it. I'm a completely opposite person. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing, but I love hearing people's enthusiasm and excitement around planning because I agree with you. Prioritization can feel easier when you do have some semblance of a plan, generally connected to goals. I would imagine,
Yes,
right? Life goals
absolutely.
or, goals per subject or, I guess, priority in your life. But I'm not good at that. I'm not good at focusing. So this is going to be a silly question, but what recommendations do you have for someone who struggles to plan? Just do
Yeah.
it, just get over it and do it. Or, do you
Well,
have recommendations?
that's a good question too. Yeah. So, I actually work with a lot of people who do struggle with that. I have a group of authors that I work with, and we work every day on checking in at the beginning of the day and just letting me know, like, this is what I want to get done today. And then at the end of the day, they tell me when they're done, So it's nice to have somebody that you can be accountable to, not necessarily have it planned out, minute by minute or hour by hour, but having some sort of target for the day. So let's say for your writing, you want to write 2,000 words. You just tell the person in front of you, this is, or the person that you're being accountable to, this is what I'd like to accomplish today. And then for me, I'll ask people what their plan is. So when do you have time today that you can fit in that 2,000 words, you know, and how long does it usually take you? And I think that's something that really helps with planning is asking yourself the right questions, like, what do I need to prepare ahead of time so that I can accomplish this task? And I think a lot of people don't put that mental energy into it, right? So it's like, yeah, exactly. So like, how long does it take me to write 1,000 words? And how long does it take me to write 2,000 words? You know, and do I have time in my schedule today for that 2 hours or however long it takes you to be able to write? And then, are you able to sit down for that long? I know you and I both are super busy, and we have a lot of other things that are a priority. And so, putting in 2 hours of writing a day isn't always feasible, right? Yeah.
I wish 2 hours long would be
I
sweet.
know. It would. Yeah,
So,
it would.
no,
But
oh, please continue. Yeah.
oh, yeah, I was just going to say, like, if you have that broken down and you understand kind of what it takes to accomplish your goal, then it makes it a lot easier to say, okay, you know, I've got, for me, it's 15 minutes a day, and I've worked on 15 minutes a day since I started writing 12 years ago, and that's how I have all the manuscripts that I have, as I just, you know, in the very short periods of time that I have every day, I use it wisely, and I just sit down and I do my writing. So
Sounds like you have a lot of great discipline as well. I think we all go in and out of discipline, which that's a completely different topic, but I do want to double click on the thing you mentioned about asking yourself the right questions, because when I first started writing, I had word count per day goals. And you know, I was hitting them most of the time, but I found the word count per day goal was frustrating me, even though I was hitting it. I think it came down to I was spending too much time looking at the word count. And like I was typing, I was in the mall, be like, oh, how many words is that? And I was looking, and you know, it just felt like almost like a kid asking, are we there yet on a car ride, right? It was just like the frustrating answer of it's only been 2 minutes, right? And so I since learned for myself and the way my mind works that I'd rather have a time per day goal, and then whatever I write in that day is great, right? And I feel much more satisfied with that because I can just set my phone on an alarm and not, you know, set a timer for whatever that time is that day and forget about it. And then I just write and write. And when it goes off, I wrap up whatever sentence I'm on and I move on with my next activity. And I've actually found that I can hit like double what my word count goal was before because now I'm not spending so much time looking at the dumb word count. I'm just writing. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
that's
Asking the right
interesting.
questions. You know, I think that's exactly an amazing point. How often do you reevaluate your priorities? Because things change, things shift. Is this
Yeah.
something that you look at regularly, or how do you keep up on that?
Yeah, definitely. And I went to a writing conference once actually where they talked about priorities and time management. And I think a lot of us kind of look at time management as like balls in the air, you know, that we're trying to juggle, you know. and then we're like, okay, I can put that one down or whatever. But I like to think of it more like a soundboard where you have different sliders that turn up the volume and turn it down, you know, and sometimes, yeah, sometimes like my family needs me and they love me and they want me around, but it's more important for me to be at a writing conference, right? And so I'll have to slide that slider down and turn up my writing slider. So it's more important sometimes than my family one. But I didn't drop the ball. I didn't let it go entirely. It's just at this point in this, you know, symphony of my life, I just need a little bit more writing than I do family at the moment. So it's constantly, you know, it's just like in a song, those sliders go up and down. But yeah, I guess the reevaluation, I don't know, necessarily do that frequently. I just know what those solid top three are. And then I just try to make it balance the sound balance out more often than not, right?
Yeah.
But yeah. And I go on vacation with my family. So, sometimes that slider's all the way up. So it goes back and forth.
Not great at taking vacations myself. That's one thing I need to work on, but we're not that we don't have to get into that. No, I love this idea of the soundboard because if you think about any song, like maybe your favorite song, or there's often, there are parts where the instruments come forth, there are parts where the lyrics come forth, there's parts where, a particular instrument sticks out, maybe it's like a guitar solo or something. I think that's an incredible example. I've never thought about it that way. How do you reach a point where you feel okay with turning down a dial? Now, what I mean by that is sometimes it's hard to accept that now might not be the time for a dial that you want to turn up to be turned up. So you kind of have to accept that, the kind of the balance when you boy have this drive, this desire for one of them to come to the forefront for some time, and maybe it can't because of, responsibilities. How do you become okay with that?
Well, that's a really good question. I think it's a struggle, right? Everyone kind of struggles with just knowing when it's okay and when it's not. But I think for me, when I write it out on paper, it really helps me visualize kind of where my time is going. So I'll
Okay.
write in, family time, I'll write in writing time, I'll write in other appointments and just different things, church things, functions that I'm going to or helping with. And I'll just kind of see how it looks on paper. And if I color code it and everything, I know I'm kind of intense,
Okay.
but. But it really does help me see like this one thing is taking over everything else, and is that okay? Is that really what needs to happen right now? Or am I neglecting something that really needs more time? And if I see that, visually, that one thing is being neglected way too much, I'll try to balance that out a little bit more. Or if like right now, that needs to be the one that's on full volume, then that's what needs to happen. But yeah, you can talk about it with someone if you're really struggling with it and kind of come to terms, I guess. I think talking it out really helps. Or just making time for that later, So
Yeah.
if you have family things that just need your attention right now and you can't really do your writing just at this moment, but you can in 6 months or whatever it might be. It's okay to take a break, and really focus in on what needs your attention. As long as you really do intend to pick it up again, when the time comes. And it comes back to that discipline, right? Following through.
Yes. No, and I think that's a really great way to put it. It is. It seems like it's almost like a muscle that you have to exercise, right? And it's not the muscle necessary of letting go, because I'm not. That's not what I'm proposing. I'm not proposing you let anything go, but just recognizing that life ebbs and flows, and there's seasons and times for the things that are important to you. You just have to be patient as you navigate those seasons. For example, we are expecting our seventh child due in July, and I just know that when that baby's born, my writing time is probably going to go away for a little while.
Yep.
And that's okay, because there's more important things, taking care of all the children. And yeah, that's fine. But this is, perhaps a personal question. Don't feel like you have to answer if you don't want to. But you mentioned God is important into your life. I would imagine that there's some element of inspiration, pondering, prayer involved with this process for you. Is that
Absolutely.
generally
Yeah.
true?
Yeah, for
Awesome.
sure.
And so, I know some of the listeners aren't religious, and not a problem at all. But I think you could compare it to instincts as well. I think, generally, our instincts, or if you are a God-fearing person, then yeah, definitely bringing in that part, that piece of inspiration or gut reactions is a good thing when you're doing this prioritization and looking at the soundboard. So,
Yeah.
but that's a big piece of mindset, just trying to have a positive perspective. So for you've been writing for a long time, as you
Yeah.
mentioned, starting when you were 11. Or is that what you said? 11? Is
That's
that
when I
right?
started
That's when you
planning.
started
Well,
planning. That's right.
yeah, my third grade, actually, though, I did win an award for a poem that I wrote. So
Okay.
I guess so, like about 10. Yeah.
You're an award-winning author. You should put that on all of your
I
profiles. Award-winning author, because you are.
Why, thank you.
No explanation needed. Award-winning author.
Right. Yeah.
But I want to talk a little bit about this planning, because you mentioned, color coding things, which I love people who color code things, because I cannot, not because of my inability to plan, I'm colorblind. So I
Oh,
literally
really?
can't use colors, because by the time I come back to it, I won't remember which color is what. So creating systems, you've talked about creating systems and maximizing your time. How do you maximize your time? Is it about cutting out things that are just waste of time? Is that how you maximize your time, or is it just planning in general?
Well, that's, I don't actually watch a lot of television. So I will say
Okay.
that first. I try to take things that I love, and those are the things that I do. So for example, I have loved watching The Crown with my husband, and so
Okay.
we actually watch that, like those seasons, but I'm very picky and choosy about what I watch. I don't just sit down and just watch the television for no reason. But with systemizing things, it just makes it so that when you do an activity, you have everything that you need to make that happen. For example, like when you clean a bathroom, let's say. So a lot of us hate cleaning the bathroom because we've got to like find all, yeah, you've got to
I
find
don't.
everything. It's all over the house. There's, there, it's just like really hard to do. But if you have like a bin and it has everything that you need in it, and then you just take that with you, or you have one in every bathroom, even though you don't have to take it out of the bathroom, it just saves so much time, right? And that's kind of the same thing with like your writing. You have everything that you need, a space where you don't have to clean it every time you sit down. It's already ready to go, and then it has everything that you need in that place. Like for me, I have to have lotion, because my hands get dry, and I'm very conscious of that for some reason. Every time I sit down, I get right back up again to go put some lotion on for some reason, but if I have it right there in my space and it doesn't pull me away from the computer, I can just take care of that need right then and there. So anything that you can tell is pulling you away from the thing that you're trying to accomplish is something that needs to be systemized or pushed out of your space. So that way, when you sit down in your chair, you're ready to write and you have everything that you need right there with you. So kind of that idea of just maximizing whatever time that you have.
I love this idea, and it seems so intuitively, it's like, yeah, that makes total sense. In practice, I can feel that's somewhat challenging, because it does require pre-thought to situations, or
That's
just
true.
considerations, or almost journaling post writing sessions, or post anything you're prioritizing. What slowed me up? What caused me to slow? Next time, here's what I need to do to account for that. I mean, that's exactly what you're saying. But the irony is, I literally do that for my job. I'm an
Oh,
operations professional. I'm making things easier and more efficient for people. But there's something about my personal life where I cannot apply the same principles. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like resistance or what, but it's just a little bit ironic. I won't even show you my desk right now, because I'm sure people would probably cringe. But what you're saying is true. And I like to think we're also not TV watchers, so I can understand you on that front. But I try to look at my life and say, what is the level of satisfaction or fulfillment that I get from any given activity? Does it match or align with what I want it to be? And sometimes it makes it easier to be like, well, I enjoy this activity, but in reality, I'm not really getting a lot out of it. It's just kind of like, I'm not getting a lot of meaning from it. It's just an aimless activity. Would I be okay if I didn't do that? And oftentimes it's like, yeah, probably. So almost that just thought process. And like you said, aligning it with your priorities, I think, is a really important thing. So I think a lot of that does come to mindset as well, trying to be positive, because once again, when things come up in your life that you're not planning, it's okay to just say, yeah, set I can set these things aside. This thing is a higher priority. And remembering that all of your responsibilities should balance in a way where you feel like they're all working in tandem rather than fighting against each other. I think that's just a mindset thing, though. But do you have any tips for someone who hasn't spent a lot of time planning? Let's say maybe they're early in their writing career, and maybe they do have daily word count or time goals, but they're still struggling to hit it. What recommendations do you have for them to be able to schedule that in?
Yeah, so I would definitely recommend an accountability partner.
Okay.
So find someone who is good at bothering you about things. So everybody's got someone, right, who's always telling them, you need to do this, you need to do that, right? So hire that person on to be your accountability partner and say, look, I'm really wanting to hit this word count every day or this time allotted. And then just check in with them at the beginning of the day, tell them what you're going to do, what your plan is, and then just check in with them when you're done. Or have them bug you about it, right? Like, hey, have you gotten your writing done today? And I think we all have somebody that will help us in that way. But yeah, just look at your schedule in the morning. So actually, what you typically do is look at it at the night before before you go to bed.
Okay.
So that way you already kind of know what's happening the next day when you wake up in the morning, and you kind of already have it in mind. And usually, like what I learned in sales was to use the six most important things to do list. And you just write out the six most important things that you need to get done tomorrow. And you don't do more than six because it can be overwhelming, but you just start with six. And it can be anything. It doesn't have to be, writing related. It can be anything that you need to get done. And then with that, so this is like right before you go to bed. You write down those six most important things. And then with that, you write out any pertinent information that you need. And you actually look it up. So like if you need a phone number or an address or whatever, you look it up right then and you put it on the list along with whatever task it is. That way, when you are looking at your task list, you're not overwhelmed by the fact that you still need to find that information. You look at it, you've already got the information. So say I need to call Jane. Here's her phone number. I just need to pick up the phone, dial the number, and then I can get that task completed. So you're kind of like you're building a plan. So you're planning, and then the next day you're implementing that plan. So yeah, that's like your basic building blocks with time management.
And, I'm glad that you mentioned the six most important things, because that is generally how I operate. In absence of my lack of focusing skills, or not absence, the existence of my lack of focusing skills, looking at a list of most important things has been effective for me, because I can't always schedule them in my day, but when I know they're on the list, they get done. As I approach my day, I've got scheduled calls for work, I've got scheduled calls for other things, I've got meals, and then there's the unexpected things with diaper changes and assisting my wife when things get overwhelming, which is they happen, it's not a big deal. I know that when I hit a free period, I say free loosely, right? I don't mean free time. I mean, hey, I don't have something scheduled in this moment and there's no one disturbing me. Now I can slot in one of those important things. Say, great, this is exactly the time I need. And for a time, I was only writing, like you said, for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes a day. And that was fine for me. I was like, hey, at least I'm writing. Sometimes it was on my phone in a Google Doc, typing away for 15 minutes while I waited in line for a prescription. That happens sometimes. But I do like that most important things listed. It's very effective. And I definitely recommend that if you haven't given it a go. But now, What if, how do you balance those important things? Because, sometimes those six most important things, if one of them takes like 2 hours and one of them takes like 5 minutes. Or does that matter? Does it matter the time to completion? Or
Yeah, that's a hard one. And that one does kind of relate to co what you were talking about earlier. It's using your pockets of time wisely. So if you've got a 15-minute activity and you've got 15 minutes, then you use
lot
that
of them.
time wisely. Yeah, but I think there's a book out there called Eat the Frog. I'm pretty sure that's the title of it. But some people like to take the hardest thing on their list and get that done first. So they eat the frog first, and that way it's over and done with. You got the hard thing out of the way, and then the rest of the day is easy. You can put 15 minutes here and there to do whatever you need to do.
Eat that frog. I looked it up
Eat
just
that
to
frog.
verify.
Thank you. Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I probably will take a look at this. For those of you listening, it says, Eat That Frog, 21 Great Ways to Stop Procrastinating and Get More Done in Less Time. So that's a skill we could all use.
Yeah.
But, it's great to hear some of the things you're mentioning resonating because, like I said, he's hearing that you have this wonderful planner color coded. It's just like, whoa, over my head. That's overwhelmed for me. But, some of the strategies you mentioned that lead into that, I do employ. So.
Well, good. Yeah. Well, and then another thing I wanted to mention is I have some of my friends who are the same. It's overwhelming for them to be like, I'm going to color code my day. But they kind of make it fun for themselves. And so what they'll do is they'll take their six most important things to do list and they'll actually put it into a jar and then just pull it out at random. And whatever they pull out, they've just got to do it, So it's kind of a fun way. Also kind of scary, I guess, if you think about it, but a different way of doing it. If you're like, okay, I've got time, let's see what's in the jar, then it might be helpful too. So
That's fun. I'm glad you mentioned that. I've heard a lot of people gamifying things as well. I've never personally done that, but I don't know. Maybe that works for someone.
Yeah,
Make it
it's
some
good for
sort of
kids
game.
too. Yeah.
Because there's that too. You make anything a race, and suddenly either they get really stressed out and angry, or they get motivated. Like, oh, we're racing. It's kind of
Yep.
funny, the reactions. But I'm not proposing you race against anybody. Anybody listening, they're like, wait, race? No, I'm just saying gamifying can be effective. So I want to talk a little bit about this is going to be hard to dive into, but I'm genuinely curious about not micro prioritization. That's what I mean, not what I mean necessarily, but you mentioned some really big things in terms of prioritization, which when you're comparing those things to each other, God, family, writing, those things, that soundboard makes a little bit sense. But what about prioritization when it's within that category, right? Writing includes marketing, selling, finances, the business aspects, all of these things that have different levels of importance. Do you approach prioritization within that larger category in the same way?
Yeah, definitely. So for me, my creative process, my writing comes first. I will always do my writing first because, okay, and this is probably me, but it's easy for me to stop writing. So
Yeah,
for me,
I
I'm
can
like,
stop too.
yeah, like I start writing and I can just stop whenever I want to. But for me, when I get into like social media or newsletters or whatever, I could do those forever. I'm just so detail oriented and I'm like, okay, I've got to get it perfect. And so I could go like 2 hours and not even realize the time has gone. So I have friends though who are opposite. They really hate, doing the social media, the newsletter, whatever, but they could sit there and just write for forever. They get lost in the story and, whatever it might be. And so I think for me, I start with the thing that I know I can stop. So that way, if I have other time constraints, those other time constraints will force me to stop when I need to stop, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. I've never thought of that before. Fascinating topic. So I have the ability to stop most things, and I think that's by nature of my flexible personality and brain. There's so many bait and switches in my life that I'm just like, all right, something new, roll with the punches. In fact, my wife doesn't read because she can't stop reading. But I'm like, I can stop mid-paragraph if I have to. Like if I'm interrupted by someone, I'd be like, yeah, what's up? I can get back into it. So, but it's a really good point though, with the time constraints and being able to stop something, because time can get sucked into, an activity they might struggle with stopping. And I know social media is that way for a lot of people. I don't think it's just you. But yeah, it's an interesting perspective. So, do you organize your day kind of similarly every day? Are they, maybe creativity in the morning, the other things in the afternoon, or what does that look like for you?
Yeah, that's exactly how my day is structured, actually. So I wake up and first thing I do, I read my scriptures and I have a little personal devotional time, and then I'll jump into my creative time. And so I'll do some drawing because I'm learning, the illustration
Right.
side of things. And then I'll do about 15 minutes of that, and then I'll jump into my personal writing time. And depending upon what my goal is at the time, that will change. But typically, it's about 15 minutes of personal writing, editing, things that are actual productive writing things. So you were talking about, the different levels of, what is defined as writing, So for me, it's really the writing and the editing are writing time. And then any research or additional things that I need to learn or do, writing choices, things like that, usually, or word choices, things like that, will usually take place outside of that 15 minutes, just because I need to get the words on the page, so I basically sprint or edit. But yeah, looking up things can sometimes lead to rabbit holes, which take you off track. And so yeah, so I'll do those after I'm done with my writing sprint time. And then, anything in addition to that, I'll schedule on different days. So for example, like writing adjacent activities like social media or marketing or newsletters or whatever, I'll just assign a day for that task. So I write blog posts on Mondays. I run a Facebook group for indie authors called the Author Co-op. And it's where authors help authors. So it's basically, I have a skill, you have a skill, let's trade skills and create really good, finished products that are indie published. And it's a really great little skills trading marketplace is what we call it. But I manage that site on Monday, or sorry, Saturdays and Wednesdays. So that's my focus on those 2 days. And then Thursdays and Fridays, I'll have certain things I need to get done. Like I need to write a newsletter or social media posts. So I just have specific days that I know today is Monday. I have to write a blog post and then I'll just hop in and do it. So.
I commend you on that. No, it makes sense. I think it's awesome. The Facebook, we'll talk about the Facebook group in just a minute, which I think is awesome. But it's awesome to hear you lay out kind of how things work for you, because having that plan does, for this podcast, for example, I do have specific days and times where I record, edit, the extras, the intro and the outro for those. And yeah, because I have that schedule, I'm able to hit it. Now, there are occasionally holidays or, sick kids or something that do interrupt that. And, I try as best as I can to fit it in somewhere else. But every so often, I have to skip a week with the podcast, and that's okay. I just, the next Wednesday, something came up, but we're here again, right? If we came back a week later. So, yeah, just do the best you can. Try not to get frustrated with circumstances you cannot control. If you can control it, then control it. If not, then to try to accept it for what it is and, keep moving forward. But I would love to keep talking about this. There's so many things we could dive into, but Where can people find more information about you and your services? And do you have a website that they can go to?
So jcyoungstrom.com or janelleyoungstrom.com. That's my full name, JanelleYoungstrom dot
Awesome.
com.
And then if people are interested in this Facebook group, how did it, is it like free, or is it like a pay to use? Like, what does that look like?
Right now we're building it. We've got about 250 members. It's free to join. It's just the author co-op on Facebook. It's the skills trading marketplace.
Very
So, yeah,
cool. That's
very fun.
awesome. And any other locations where they might be able to find more about you?
Well, I work with 8 Moons Publishing as the publicist and project manager there, or virtual assistant, I guess, is a more indie friendly term, but that's basically what I do. And then I also do Vanilla Grass Writing. That's a blog that I help run. So that's writing
Very cool.
resources for writers.
Okay, well, I'll make sure those are all in the show notes. But thank you for joining me today. This has been an excellent conversation.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. I appreciate you taking the time.
I hope you found that interesting and helpful. I know that for myself, some of those tactics for prioritization and finding the time to do all the things were very helpful. I haven't implemented as many, but it has given me a little bit of a pause in terms of considering what's actually important to me from a day-to-day basis and considering the day before what needs to be done the next day. I used to do that so many times, you know, at least envisioning it in my mind, but I kind of stopped, got a little bit busy and chaotic, but I'm going to start picking it up and doing it again. So I'm very grateful for JC and her experience and insight on that front. Next week, we'll be talking to Candace Yemnitz about writing for your target audience. So we talk about why she chose to write what she does, which is clean teen fantasy, essentially. She's Christian. Her books aren't Christian focused, but they are clean and appropriate for that age. We talk about her experience working with publishers and, you know, kind of the story on how she reclaimed some of the rights and is continuing to publish some of her books with her traditional publisher. So I think you want to stick around for that conversation. And if, of course, you'd like to join me on the podcast, you can head to thecasualauthor.com and fill out the form. Or if you'd like to, you can email me at dan@thecasualauthor.com. Happy to respond and answer any questions that you have. I appreciate you listening to the podcast, and I look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks.